Can I ice form on the trailing edges at all?
Could. Yeah, it can. But that's not where it's going to form typically.
Or create bigger problems, I guess.
That would create lots of bigger problems. Really, one of your biggest problems isn't the fact that the ice is forming there, to be honest with you. The problem is...
Can you tell me a little bit more about de-icing gear and things that can let you fly into known icing? Can you plan to fly through icing, or is it only like a worst case scenario you can use this equipment?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors, also known as Ho, 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 Ho. Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah,
everybody. It's that time of the year.
It's that time of the year.
I love it. I'd love it more if it was a little snowy, you know, if we could actually have like a real Christmas. It doesn't ever feel like Christmas.
Carson, I'm from California. It always feels like Christmas without snow.
I know, but I've had like two snowy Christmases. That feels real.
You know, you can go up to the mountains and have snow.
There's no snow up there.
Well, I would like to talk about some things that affect our flying in the winter today. What do you think about that?
Without just snow, there's more?
There's frost, there's fog, there's ice, there's in-flight icing, and there is like before-flight icing.
Yeah, I try and stay away from that. I do remember though, when I worked at the flight school, I'd get in the morning and I'd be the first flight and I'd have to scrub and scrape the ice off the windshield.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it was real fun. Everyone was using like their credit cards or whatever they had. And I had just came back from BYU up in Utah. So I had actual ice scraper.
Don't use that on your windshields, by the way. It will scratch them.
The brush did not. The brush?
It didn't.
No, the scraper part, that might.
Would.
It's rubber.
Okay, maybe not.
Have you ever used one? Or you've only seen them, huh?
I've used the hard plastic ones when I've had rental cars in the Northeast.
Okay, I'll give you that. No, it was not hard plastic. It was a firm rubber, but not hard plastic.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, let's talk about a little bit of icing once we get to our airplanes in the morning. How have you dealt with it in the past? And do you have any stories besides this one that you just kind of alluded to?
Ooh. Pouring hot water over the windshield, that always helps.
Does it?
No. The country knows I'm joking. Half doesn't, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know the difference. I would assume that it would freeze faster, right?
No, it would crack the windshield. Go from super cold to super hot.
Ah.
Yeah, that's...
I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Cannot do that. Oh, I'm glad I cleared that up right now. We're going to New York next week. Like, yeah, good thing. No, I mean, putting a warm towel, like a warm towel, that does help. Just letting it warm up, though, letting the plane actually warm up.
Like inside?
Inside.
Like turn on the heater?
Yeah.
I like
turn on the heater, let it heat from the inside out.
Kind of like what I do with my Tesla every morning. I click defrost by the time I get outside.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Defrosted.
I got to sit in there.
Oh, I have a whole app.
Oh, it's fancy, fantastic. Fancy.
It is fancy. I know if you have a new Cirrus, they have an app too.
Do they really?
Yeah. You can check on all the stats for your airplane.
Can you preheat your airplane?
I don't know if you can.
I'd imagine they'd have climate controls on the inside, right? They have to have a battery that just runs that.
They probably do.
That would be super cool.
I'd say yes.
I saw a lot of Cirrus ads lately.
Yeah, I want one.
I know. They're hitting the wrong crowd. I got an email that said, trade in your old Cirrus. We have a new, trade-in program.
That's hilarious. I went and flew the Icon yesterday with Gustavo.
Oh, you guys are skinny enough to fit together.
Yeah. And we were hanging outside the airplane. I know this has nothing to do with icing, especially California didn't have icing, but it does have to do with some fog. I'll talk about that.
There's been a lot of fog lately.
A lot of fog, especially in Orange County. So I went out and I was flying with Gustavo yesterday. And we get over there and the nose wheel was low. So I wanted some air in it. And I found that on my pre-flight, by the way. That's why pre-flight is very important.
Good job.
Might have rolled, but I found it in my pre-flight. So I ended up going to talk to my hangar neighbor, asking him if I can borrow his air compressor because I figured he probably had one a little easier than I did. So I was filling up the tire and I get these two guys that come over to me. And they said, oh, hi, what do you think of the airplane? I said, I love the airplane. But to be honest, I kind of want to sell it and I want to get a Cirrus. So it kind of gave me the reminder of this right now. And the guy's like asking all sorts of questions about the Icon. And at the end of it, he said, hey, Brandon. And I was just hoping he would say, let's do a trade. Like even trade? I'm in. Let's do it. I want a Cirrus pretty bad right
now. What, do you have an SR22?
He has an SR22. Yeah. Second gen.
So was there a trade?
We're talking about doing a partial trade, 50% for 50%. We both get to use the Icon. We both get to use the Cirrus. How
two planes
would that be?
That would be incredible.
It would be incredible.
No one's offered you that with the 120, have they?
No, no.
That would be so cool. You can get two planes.
Yeah, exactly. And I can have my Go Places plane and I can have my Have Fun airplane.
I think they're both Have Fun airplane.
They are both Have Fun, but a Cirrus can get me
slow fun, fast places, fun.
Places yeah. Quick.
Boat versus a sports car.
Yeah, I kind of want the boat. I want to go slow.
That's cool. That'd be really cool. Well, let me know if that happens because I'd like to get checked out.
Okay, I'll let you know. I'll let you know if it happens. We'll see.
Oh, please.
Yeah, they were talking about checking me out in the airplane. I'm like, I probably have more hours in the Cirrus than you do. And
never assume, though.
I mean, I know, but it was just...
You knew a DP that was in his 20s, right?
I mean, yeah, that's also true.
And a captain, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
I mean, it was quite funny. And I start talking to him about my flying experience. And it's like, oh, I think you can fly it. I said, yeah, I think I can too. But I'm more than happy to have you in the plane with me on the first flight. Let's go do that.
Yeah. Though if anything goes wrong, it's not you.
Yeah. And I told him I can check him out legitimately for sea operations in the Icon. Because flying it itself is not that difficult. But I digress. I want to go back to the story.
We digress. That's our thing.
Yes. So we were talking about the Cirrus and how I liked him and all these other things. But when Gustavo and I went up and we went flying around SoCal, we went up and over the Saddleback Mountains. And we wanted to go see if we can go to a little splashy or close to splash and go. And we weren't able to do that because there's so much fog everywhere along the coast. Today, there wasn't that much there's none in the afternoon. We're looking at it right now.
Yeah, there's been a lot of fog in the last couple of weeks.
There's been a lot of fog, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just cooling down and just bringing in more fog. I don't know. There's five or six types of fog, right?
There's a lot of different types of fog. Honestly, I used to know all of them and explain all of them, and it's been a couple of years.
And most likely, it's a combination of the few because we're right next to the beach inland, and it comes all the way to the Saddleback Mountains. So I can imagine that you popped right over the top, saw how much fog there was, and...
Yeah.
Said, oh, this is happening.
We stayed at 5,500 and just flew over the Charlie and then flew back over to Chino. It was kind of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you take him to John Wayne?
No. I took him to Riverside. We had lunch there. Nice. Did a little flight.
Nice.
Made sure the air was still staying in the tire.
That would have been a different
Said problem. Hi to Rich. Said hi to Next Gen.
Oh, so we actually got to see everything?
Yeah. I showed him everything.
Well, that's super cool.
Yeah, it was fun. So besides that, It just meant we couldn't go fly to certain airports. I mean, we couldn't even went to John Wayne. We would have had to fly IFR into John Wayne, which obviously we can't do in the Icon sport airplane.
Is that the only limitation on it?
There's a lot of limitations on that airplane.
I thought so.
That happens to be one of them. So yeah, I mean, there's that. I also have another story, and we'll go over to ICE, actually. We were talking about that. I have two stories on ICE. When I was getting my CFI, the day that I was going to go take my CFI check ride, I needed to go fly the airplane from Riverside to Chino, which is a 5-minute flight. And I was flying a Piper Arrow. That was what I was doing my CFI in. Even though when I got my CFI, it was no longer necessary to fly it in a complex. You can do it in any type of aircraft. But I was already more comfortable doing Omni maneuvers in the Arrow than I was any other airplane, even with a handbrake.
Well, that Arrow is just nice for maneuvers.
It's nice for maneuvers and is fun.
Keeps itself going well.
It does. So I ended up going outside and I'm like, what am I going to do? The thickness on this ice was like, I don't know, it felt like an inch thick. It probably was like an eighth of an inch thick or whatever it might have been. But it would not go anywhere. I could not break the ice off. I could not scrape it off. I tried the credit card thing. It was freezing cold. And I had to tell my DP, hey, I'm going to run an hour late. And that's probably why I ended up taking my check ride at night that night. Like, I was flying when it was already dark.
Oh, you did a night flight for your check ride?
I had to. What else am I going to do?
How long was the CFI check ride for you? 8 hours, like normal, I guess?
8 or 10. It was a long day. And it started an hour late because of the ice on my windshield.
Well, do you think that it helped you at all? Not the ice. I know that sucks. But do you think it helped that it was cold? You know, doing maneuvers because the density altitude's a little bit more friendly, and there's no heat, so you're not dropping like a brick all the time every time you pull out power.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think that helps with maneuvers?
Of course, it helps with maneuvers. There's more airflow.
Just in general, though. I mean, like, do you think
there's more air molecules?
Students are having an easier time in the winter.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that, but maybe. I've never. Besides it being freezing cold and the heaters generally work okay in planes, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, that's another thing to talk about.
Heaters work really, really good in airplanes.
They do, but they usually burn the crap out of your leg after a while.
After a little while, sometimes they do. That is true.
I've had my leg hairs almost singe.
I know. It's fun. But besides that, I did end up getting my airplane in the check right over there. There's another story I wanted to share. I went and bought a Cherokee 160. It's 5-0 whiskey from a place in Washington. And there was a little bit of snow on the ground. There were ice on the wings covering the wings.
Is that the first time you met the plane?
Covering. It's the first time I ever met the plane. And there was a lot of problems with this plane on day one. But
what? But
we couldn't do anything on this plane. So we had to hire somebody who had a hangar, and it was a heated hangar. And we shoved the airplane in there for an hour and just melted all the ice off the plane.
You know, it's only every time we talk about winter flying that I consider heated hangars being a thing.
Yeah, heated hangars are a thing.
Here, that would be the opposite of a selling point.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be oh, it's going to get hotter in my hangar? Great. I love that for work.
Do you have an air conditioner?
Yeah, air conditioned hangars. That's the way to go.
Yeah. But yeah, so we stuck it in that hangar, and then we were able to get the annual done, and we swapped out some parts and drained the water from the tanks.
Didn't you have Rich fly up there with you?
Rich did the annual and stuff, but me and one other pilot, I think it was Louie, my friend Louie, who's one of the OG NextGen employees, and now he works for an airline. I think he works for Hawaiian, actually, now.
I thought he stopped working for Hawaiian.
Well, regardless, he works for a big, giant company.
Something big.
So we were able to get all that ice off the wings. And I was thinking to myself, well, how much ice can I fly with on my wings? And FYI, everybody, the answer is none. Don't fly with ice on your wings.
I can't believe that thought even went through your head.
Well, I couldn't scrape it off. And I was just, I'd get there, get home itis like crazy. I wanted to get home. And there was so much ice on the wings. It was so thick.
That tells you how much get there itis gets you.
Yeah. I was like, can I fly with a little bit of ice on the wings? I wasn't even a CFI at this point, by the way.
Thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully I was not.
No, the answer is no ice. No ice at all. I don't think you can really even take off with ice on your wing.
The answer is no ice at all. Will the plane fly and take off? Maybe. Are you going to crash and die? Also, maybe. Is that worth it? No. No, don't do that.
I want to talk about what happens when you actually get in the air and you have some icing. But before that, let's start from the very beginning when you start the plane. I remember every winter flying at NextGen, because I'd always take the morning flights before I worked. It was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such a problem trying to start the plane.
Yeah, that's why in the winter, in winter areas, they have engine warmers that warm your oil up.
Oh, that's nice.
It does.
Why don't we have that?
We don't need them here.
Well, I felt like I needed them when I was starting those planes.
Sometimes they're harder to start.
It's just it would just keep turning.
Everything needs to be lubed up, and it's not being lubed up as effectively. I mean, think about the viscosity of oil when it's really, really hot out, or when the oil is hot in your airplane versus when it's not. It's kind of really thick and it's like it seems thicker when
slime.
When it's more. I mean, hopefully it doesn't look like slime, but but in between that, right? Yeah. It's a little thicker, almost like a slime. And then once it's hot, it's just like a viscous, almost water.
Yeah, it's like just runny liquid.
Runny liquid, exactly. And that's the difference, really, between hot and cold, and why it's sometimes easier to start airplanes when it's
got it. Hotter. So when it keeps turning over, it's just trying to get that oil to go through the engine.
Oh, it's not just oil. I mean,
there's everything, but I mean, that's
that's part of it.
It's trying to heat itself up.
Yeah, the engine's cold. Everything is more locked up. I mean, think about it. If you're freezing cold, are your joints going to move very well in the morning?
No.
No? Especially as you get older.
This morning.
Yeah, it's because you're getting old. No, so that's kind of why. And the reason why that prop is turning is because that starter is forcing it to turn.
Got it. It's not having a good time, though.
No, it's not. And if you do it, you're going to burn out a starter.
Has that happened before?
Yes, it's happened to me before, and it's happened to a lot of people. I've only burned out one starter. It was my business partner's airplane.
Oh, at least it wasn't yours.
And I felt terrible about it, but I was like, I am starting this airplane. And I did not. I ended up flying Southwest to a Napa that day. Yeah, literally,
Was it the Aerostar?
It was the Aerostar. I burned out the right. It cost me like $2,000, too. I was so mad. And then I had to go buy last-minute tickets for like a flight an hour
patience,
later.
Patience? $2,000, you know? That's...
Patience should have won.
Yeah, it should have.
It didn't.
So did you learn a lesson after that? A little pricey lesson?
A pricey lesson. Yeah, I learned something.
Well, speaking of the Aerostar, I think it has boots on it, doesn't it?
It does have boots. Das Boot.
Why does the last guy chug out of a shoe?
It's no shoe! It's Das Boot!
Sorry, hopefully you guys have seen Beer Fest.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show. Can you tell me a little bit more about de-icing gear and things that can let you fly into known icing?
Fiki. Well, you have to have a plane that is Fiki. Certified. Okay. And Fiki stands for?
Flight into known icing.
Good. I'm glad he knew that one. Otherwise, we would have had some problems on this.
I like acronyms. Okay.
Yeah, so there's different types of de-icing system. There's glycol or alcohol systems that actually block the formation of ice on wings. You also have heated wings. You see a lot of heated wings on large aircraft. That's what you're going to see on like Boeing 747s and stuff. You'll see heated wings, and it will just melt the ice off the leading edges. That's really, really common. You'll see boots, like Carson just talked about. Sometimes they are heated boots at that. And they blow up and just break the ice up, and then they deflate, and then the ice is just gone.
Yeah, it's like these little black areas on the leading edge of a wing. That's what it
Correct,
looks like.
That blow up.
Exactly. I hadn't seen it for the first time. I was almost picking at it. I was like, what's that? It looks all cracked. It's because it's blown up and deflated over and over.
Yeah, and then standing out there getting outside the sun.
Yeah, the sun.
Yeah. And then outside of that, I mean, if your plane is carbureted, obviously you have carburetor heat. That can deal with carb icing, but carb icing is only going to happen in certain situations and instances. Actually, it could happen in any situation, in any instance, but that's a whole nother conversation about that. There's also there's heaters for engines, like I was talking about earlier. But I guess that doesn't have to do with in-flight de-icing.
Well, when you have a Fiki equipment actually on board the aircraft, can you plan to fly through icing, or is it only like a worst case scenario you can use this equipment?
No, you can fly into known icing.
And there won't be any issues?
No.
As long as you test your stuff.
I mean, if you're flying into really, really bad icing conditions, that is not smart.
Is there a limitation to the equipment and the plane and the pilot, I guess?
Yeah. You need to be IFR certified, like IFR current. IFR proficient, that's probably a big one as well. Plane has to be Fiki certified. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. You can't go fly into an ice storm though, or freezing fog or something crazy ridiculous like that. You just need to fly into small amounts of ice. If you know that you're going to be flying in, I don't know, 20 degree weather or 15 degree weather, and you're flying into white puffy clouds, sure, you're going to get a little bit of icing on there. But if you do like what I did, I talked about this on one of the really earlier episodes, and flew the Aero accidentally into an ice cloud, and then my airplane started turning into an icicle. So I had to do a 180 and descend very rapidly to get to warmer air. If that happens to you, and I went to VFR conditions quite quickly after that, then that is a no-go. Literally, my windshield turned into an like a sheet of ice, and all my wings were just like rapidly gaining ice. It was very nerve wracking.
That is terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Do you remember enough about your CFI to explain how that happens?
I mean, it just accumulates. That was rime ice, I believe, or mixed. There was some clear on my windshield, and there was clear and rime on my
like
on my leading edges.
The right words.
Yeah, I know. It's been a little while.
Can I ice form on the trailing edges at all?
Not.
You don't have to really. I don't know the answer.
I mean, that's just it could. Yeah, it can, but that's not where it's going to form typically.
Or create bigger problems, I guess.
That would create lots of bigger problems.
Would.
Actually, I mean, it's really one of your biggest problems isn't the fact that the ice is forming there, to be honest with you. The problem is of how much ice weighs.
Really?
Well, think about it.
I thought it was always that.
Besides it deforming your wing, right? It's changing the shape of your wing, which is going to decrease lift. How much weight is on there? So you know how weight and balance is important?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, Carson.
Yeah, very important.
I'm glad you said yes. Think about it.
Sorry, what's a weight and balance?
If you just added like, I don't know, 50 more gallons of water and put it in your airplane or another person and you were at max gross weight, now you have another person there. So I was flying home.
Sense.
I was flying home from Mammoth one day, flying in my buddy's Cherokee 6. And I was trying to get around some bad weather, and I found some better weather. But every time I would go through these clouds, and I was flying IFR, and I was current, proficient, all the mix, and it had a nice autopilot. And I kept on going through these clouds, and I ended up having to descend to get to slightly warmer air just so I would stop accumulating ice. And I stayed in I stayed in IFR, but I had to go a little bit lower. But there was mountainous areas, so I couldn't go that much lower. And I kept on getting more and more ice, and the autopilot kept on having to change the angle of attack more and more and more, or I would be descending. And I started to descend. I couldn't hold my altitude at one point. It was very nerve-wracking. Because
I don't even know how to say that. That's terrifying. The plane
got heavy. Now, I had backup plans the entire time this was happening, and I was trying to shed the ice and get rid of it, and eventually I did by getting lower, right? If it wasn't changing anytime soon, then I would have just landed in one of the airports. I could see below. It was like sporadic clouds. It wasn't hard IFR.
Okay. So ice forms pretty quickly. Does it also melt kind of quickly when you get to warmer air?
Yeah, sometimes it'll melt or just fly off.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's normally heaters for the windshield, so you can really get rid of that ice fairly quick.
Well, that's important. I'd like to be able to see.
Yeah. If you're flying IFR, you don't really need to see.
Well, that's right. I'm not IFR.
You're not IFR. But in that instance, you would be.
Got it. Well, enough about scary things. What about something happy?
Happy is coming soon. And if you do not like spoiler alerts, turn off the podcast now. And if you do like spoiler alerts, ForeFlight puts out something super cool. And I don't know if it's ForeFlight. I think it's ForeFlight. Or if it's the FAA. But I'm sure it's the FAA because it's in the METARs and in the TAFs, and they always have like cool things or they have the other things that we see in winter flying. Like my favorite one is MIST. What is MIST? Tell me the METAR abbreviation for MIST.
Bravo Romeo.
BR, also known as
Baby Rain. See, I didn't even look at that.
I know. That's how I remember it. And then FG's fog, IC's ice crystals, SN is snow. SG is snow grains. I've never seen that before. PL is ice pellets. I've never seen that before.
We don't live in areas that we have either of those.
I know. I have seen BLSN, which is blowing snow. And I've also seen freezing rain, which is FZRA, which is also called a do not fly day.
Why is that? Is that a problem?
Yeah, it's quite a problem, actually. But on ForeFlight, at least, they show some really, really, really cool METARs, and they all have to do with Santa Claus. They have like jingle bells and
it's like caution, like sleigh in vicinity, little things like that, all the way through.
Yeah, and they talk about Rudolph's like red nose in the like lighting up the sky.
Yeah, like caution, red nose maybe confused with beacon or something like that.
Yeah,
it's always something fun.
And they do like jingle bells types of things. So they have really, really fun things. I highly suggest listening on it. And this episode's going to be coming out just before Christmas. So you're going to get to hear it.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing.
I
take back everything I said. That is what makes it feel like Christmas when I wake up and it's all cold and I roll over and I'm checking for a flight and I get to go through and like click on all my favorite airports and look at all the codes. And yeah, the Mutars and Tafts are always fun. It's cool.
They are a blast to read. So I can't wait for you guys to see that. Also, outside of the fun stuff, make sure you're looking at ceilings right now. I mean, ceilings are, and do you know what constitutes a ceiling, Carson?
It's like 7/8 coverage.
Okay, I'm not getting into that much on here. So if we go overcast, is that a ceiling?
Oh, no.
Wrong.
Oh, sorry.
It is a ceiling.
Overcast is ceiling. Broken is.
Is it a ceiling?
Broken is.
Broken is. Okay. How about few?
No, few is not.
Not a ceiling. Okay. Is there anything else?
Scattered.
Scattered. Is that a ceiling?
Look at me. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Okay. Those are the four.
Okay.
Okay. So if it's broken or overcast, that's a ceiling. Make sure you check and see if you can fly. If you are flying IFR, there may be some regulations as well. You need to check and see.
And not even
what's
that,
in your AFD or
if you're a student pilot, check your endorsements. They will all have a ceiling in there and invisibility. And both of those factors may be affected by the weather.
They are affected by the weather. Sorry. Always.
Always. But I mean, maybe affected by our current weather.
Yes. And you should, by the way, for any CFIs that are listening to us, you should also put in there in your endorsement, must ask you as the CFI for permission prior to flying. All of mine say that, by the way.
Big CYA for you.
Exactly. Because then you get to double check and make sure. FYI, if you give somebody an endorsement and it doesn't say that, and somebody allows them to use an airplane, they're flying around solo on your ticket, not on their own.
And they don't have to let you know.
Because you didn't tell them they had to.
Exactly.
So I always put all those fun things on mine. Yeah. Just like.
Well, speaking about CFIs, this kind of weather is great for teachable moments. But every time I'd ask Brandon, I'd be like, can I fly? He'd be like, I don't know. Can you fly? And he just turned every scenario in a teachable moment like that. And it was great. It prepared me for almost anything.
It is good. All right. Well, I think we've hit all of our things today. Outside of that, I would love to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. And I sense I didn't say it on the episode that was going to get released next week. And a Happy New Year. Thank you, everybody, for listening to us for this entire year. I think we actually got out. Well, by next week, we'll get out all 52 episodes for the Aviation Mentors podcast, Carson. That's a pretty impressive, impressive feat.
With your schedule?
Over 200. Yeah, with my schedule, it's pretty hard. So that was 100 in year one. In year two, we did another 50. And year three, another 50, getting us to over 200 episodes now.
Yeah, we have people listening to us for a long time now. Our first episode was August 6th of 2022.
2022. Are you serious? It's been that long?
I had to double check.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't believe it either.
I've known you for that long?
You've known me since June 25th, 2020.
Wow. He knows the date.
I do. That's crazy. It's actually Maddie's birthday. That's when he reviewed the next day.
Oh, I love it. So, there's something else cool. Do you want to tell him?
No, you can tell.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can tell.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I just want to bring it on.
Carson proposed a second time.
I did, this time to Brandon.
But to me, as best man. So I get to be best man at Carson's wedding. It's going to be pretty cool. I get little goosebumps right now, even thinking about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sorry, people bumps, not goosebumps. I'm not a goose. I'm a people.
Worst thing you've ever said. I take back my proposal.
So it's going to be really fun. Now I get to plan the bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mom, I'm going to church.
on that day. Yeah, he must go to church. His future wife is not happy about it either, I'm sure. I'll keep him safe. He won't die. He'll come back. We won't have any moments like the hangover or anything.
No tigers.
You can't say no tigers.
Okay. Tigers it is.
Maybe some animals involved.
All right.
Okay.
Let's see where this thing goes.
Maybe parrots.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Possibly parrots.
Yeah. I mean, this was, Maddie knew what she was signing up for when I said, I want Brandon to be my best man.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing.
She was like, I know he's going to do the bachelor party and I still accept it.
Yeah. I love it. So I'm already working on my speech. It's already partially written.
No, not really. I haven't started yet, but yeah, he needs to definitely cross his heart, hope to not die. But yes, thank you guys for listening to us for so long. I know it's the end of the year, and we really appreciate it. We are looking forward to an amazing, amazing 2026, including a slightly longer format version of this show. We are going to go from our average 20 minutes to, I don't know, somewhere between 30 and an hour. We're going to see where things land. Pun was intended, that's for sure. I try my best. So if you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can always reach us on our emails, Brandon@AviationMentors.com, Carson@AviationMentors.com, or as we prefer on our LinkedIn handles, we're the two handsome guys with the name Brandon Martini and Carson Vasquez. Don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all the awesome things we always do on social media. It really helps us grow the aviation community and really help other pilots in their journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. And as we wrap up for the year, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you.